Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Well, that Acts 27, the more I study Acts 27, the more I love Acts 27. And man, I'm going to tell you something. Even today, this afternoon in the study, there was so many times I had something else wrote down, and I'm going to preach it too. But I saw six things in Acts 27, verse number 15 through 20, this afternoon that I want to give you. And it's not a little. Alliterated out. It's expository, but it's not alliterated out. But I want to give it to you tonight and talk to you a little bit. And of course, we started in Acts 27 last Sunday night, looking at some things about Paul here and these sailors here. And we'll see what we can learn tonight. Let's stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's Word. The Bible said in verse number 13 of Acts 27, when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euryclidon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Claudia, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, straight sail, and so were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with the tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. The Bible said in verse number 19, and the third day we cast out with our hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. Father, I love you tonight, and I pray, Lord, that you'd help us. God, I pray, Lord, that your will and way would be done. God, help us to rightly divide the word of truth tonight, and we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated tonight. Really, I dealt last Sunday night on what Paul said to them. If you'll go back there into verse number 9, the Bible said this, now when much time was spent when sailing was now dangerous because the fast was now already passed, Paul admonished them and said unto them, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the laden and ship, but also, watch this, of our lives. Nevertheless, that's an important word right there because the whole chapter is fixing to take a turn. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. So Paul tells them that day, hey, look, we don't need to sail. We don't need to do this right now. But they decided to listen to somebody else more than Paul. And really what I dealt with last Sunday night was simply on they should have listened to the preacher. Amen. Paul told them, hey, look, you're fixing to get in trouble if you do that. But they wouldn't listen to the warning that Paul gave. And man, we talked about a lot of stuff in that message. But Paul was a seasoned man. Paul knew what shipwreck was whenever you study the Bible. And they should have listened to Paul. Paul would have helped them. Paul would have kept them going in the right way if they would have only listened to Paul. But they didn't. And because of that, now they found themselves in a great big storm that could have been prevented if they would have just listened. It could have been prevented if they would have just listened. I was driving down the road not long ago. I was traveling and coming in from a meeting somewhere. I don't even remember where it was at. And I always plug my phone up to my truck. And I love Apple Play because everything on your phone just comes up right there. And I always use the maps. Whenever I'm coming up the road, I always pull Apple Maps up. And on my phone, if I'm going to Winston, I plug it in. in. That way, if there's a wreck, I know it, man. It's just convenient. But it said this. It said, there is a storm ahead. You can detour. And it showed a way that I could detour. You know what? I thought, man, I'm not going to detour. I'm going to the house. And boy, it wasn't long. I was in the middle of a great big storm. But all of that could have been detoured if I would have only listened. You know what? There's a lot of times in our life, God will send people our way, and a lot of times He'll send a preacher our way. He'll send the man of God with a message from His Word. And if we'll just listen to that, there may be some major storms in our life, church, that we can detour. Paul tells them this, but they don't listen. And because of that, we've just now read that they find themselves in a storm. Matter of fact, a storm so big that it's got a name. Euryclidon. I began to think about this, and some calls it a typhoon, and I began to think about this. You know what? It takes a big storm to have a name. You ever thought about that? It takes a big storm to have a name. Matter of fact, this afternoon, from about 3:45 to about 4:30, man, it came a storm here. I don't know about anywhere else, but it came a storm here. But that storm didn't have no name. Matter of fact, a week ago last night, it came a great big storm here and flooded one of our buildings. Praise God. We was out there working in it Sunday morning, and Brother Mark said, well, we got a mess. And Brother Charles said, well, we'll get it up. And I said, well, thank God we've got a building to have a mess in, and we got people to clean it up, amen. But it didn't have a name. So when you think about this storm's so big that it is named. And then I thought about this. I thought about this whenever you read on into verse number 27. But when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight, the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country. About the 14th night, whenever you study this out, and I read a bunch on this week, they've been in this storm for at least 14 days. So this storm was not just something that blowed in for a little while and then it was gone. It was something that set down in their area. I guess, Brother Ramsey, we could say it this way. It was a slow-moving storm. But all of this is what I want you to see. Could have been detoured. All of this could have been detoured. If they would have just listened to Paul. But they didn't. And here's what I want to talk to you about for just a little bit tonight. The cost of the storm. The cost of the storm. We have been to numerous places doing disaster relief, and whenever something hits, especially if it's within 4 or 5 hours of us, we always try to get things together and take it to those areas. And we've been in some of those places just a day or so after the storm has hit, and this is what you'll find them saying. We're trying to determine the cost of the storm. What did this storm end up costing? Well, you know what? We can look at the Word of God tonight and see what this storm that could have been detoured cost them tonight. And can I say something to you tonight? The storm will always cost you. Did you hear me? It cost Paul. I mean, it cost Jonah. And I talked about that this morning. He paid the fare thereof. He went down into the ship. He went down into the waters. He went down in to the fish's belly. It cost him something. And whenever we choose to go contrary to what God has for us, hear me and hear me well, it will cost. Amen, it will cost. I really believe the more I study this, that there is a type that we can use right here as the storm as a picture of sin. What does it cost us tonight? Let me show you six things, and I'll preach fast. Don't let that bother you, okay? I promise you I'm going to preach fast. Number one, the loss of freedom. Look in verse number 15. And when the ship was caught, they lost their freedom. Can I tell you something tonight? The world will have you to believe that Christianity is a loss of freedom. But hear me and hear me well. Christianity and being saved by the grace of God is not a loss of freedom. Matter of fact, being saved by God is freedom from sin. Somebody say amen. But what this world will cost you, what sin will cost you today, what the storm will cost you today, what will you lose? Lose from that, you'll lose freedom from that. The Bible said that they was caught. They was caught. How many times has the storm cost us our freedom? I thought, boy, we could talk so much right here. We could go topical with this, and we could talk about a loss of freedom to worship. How many times have you seen people at church and boy, they'll raise their hand and they'll worship God, and then little by little, Brother Ramsey, they don't raise it as far. You've seen it, and then you find out they don't go to the choir like they once did, and they're not as faithful as they once did. What has happened? The storm, sin is causing them to lose freedom. I could preach on that a long time. Number two, the cost of the storm. There was a loss of freedom, but there was a loss of control. The Bible said, and when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. They lost control of the ship. Let me tell you what sin will do to your life tonight, church. You say, preacher, it's Sunday night. I need something encouraging. Well, I'm giving you something. If you'll listen to me, it'll encourage you down the road and keep you out of trouble. Let me tell you what sin will do tonight. Let me tell you what will happen in our life when the preacher preaches to us and he exhorts us to live right and to walk right and to do right, and we choose to go our own way. There'll come a day that we will lose control of some things. Have you ever heard this statement made? I never dreamed they would have done that. I never dreamed they would have done that. I've sat with my wife before and called people's names that once sat on these pews or these chairs. It was pews then. But I've said this, Brother Brian, I never dreamed it. I never saw that. I never would have thought that that happened. But you know what? When I began to look back, Brother Joe, over the past months or the past year or even 2 or 3 years, you can start to watch them. They soul up to the preacher. They soul up to the preaching of God's Word. They quit attending church faithfully. They quit bringing their Bible to church. They find themselves nowhere around the house of God, and little by little, and then all of a sudden there's a loss of control in their life. Satan's got them where he wants them. There was a loss of freedom. There was a loss of control. But watch this, number three. I told you I'm going to preach fast. The Bible said this, and running under a certain island which is called Claudia, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, so he's showing us the work that they had. Can I say this to you? The storm, what will it cost you tonight? Sin, what will it cost you tonight? Rebelling against the man of God and the word of God tonight? I'll say this, you'll lose your rest. You'll lose your rest. And I'm not talking about laying down at night and closing your eyes and going to sleep. I'm talking about a peace that passeth all understanding. I'm talking about a rest that you can find in the arms of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's what happens in their life. Man, they lose their rest. They lose. Number four, watch this. Not only did they lose their freedom, their control, their rest, but watch this in verse number 17. Which when they had taken up, they used helps undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksand, straight sail, and so were driven. Let me tell you what else the storm will cost you tonight, and what sin will cost you tonight, and getting out of the presence of God will cost you tonight. Watch this. They lost their joy. They lost their joy. What did the Bible say? The Bible said this, fearing lest they should fall into the quicksand. What did the Bible say about fear? Here's what the Bible said about fear. God hath not given us a spirit of fear. That fear that they had right there was not of God. Why? Because God doesn't give us the spirit of fear. The reason that they find themselves in a spirit of fear is because back a few verses prior to this, the man of God said, "Whoa, we don't need to do this. You don't need to go this way." But they went that way anyway, and now every bit of joy that they had is gone. You know what? The devil will give you a counterfeit joy. You say, what do you mean? Something that's temporal, something that's not real. The Bible said there's pleasure in sin for a season. In other words, that sin will come to an end. You know what? There may be a man that goes out and takes dope for the first time tonight, but you know what? In a few weeks, let's go visit him. In a few months, let's go visit him. Let's go to a jail cell where he's trying to dry out at, or let's go to the hospital where he's trying to dry out at, and he's going through all of these things physically and mentally trying to get off of that, and let's see where the joy's at in his life then. Let's go to the man that got drunk last night and hit somebody and killed him, and he didn't even know what he'd done, but he woke up from a drunken stupor and somebody told him what had happened in his life. There'll be no joy then. You see, sin will creep into our life and it'll make everything look great, but the truth of the matter is this: sin always steals our joy. It always steals our joy. Always. I thought about some people that down through the years, Leslie and I tried to help when I was studying this afternoon. Boy, it seemed like they would do good, and then Brother Brian, they'd fall back off, and they'd do good, and then it seemed like they hit that point, and it's like no return. I'll tell you what happened. Here's what happened. They got away from the Word of God. They got away from the worship of God. They got away from the will of God. They didn't take heed to the preaching of God's Word. The preacher said, don't go that way. You know what? The preacher, if he's in the Word of God, it don't matter if he's 12 or if he's 65 years old. If he's in the Word of God and he's preaching the Word of God and he's got the anointing of God on him, you know what we better do? We better perk up and listen to him, because God may be speaking through him to help us. What did they do? They lost their joy. They lost their joy. Number five, watch this. The Bible said in verse number 20, and when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, they lost their guidance. You see, I said a little bit about this last week in the message, but let me just echo it real quick. In that day, they didn't have a Garmin that they went by. They didn't have Apple Maps that they went by. They didn't have some kind of sonar on their boat that they went by. They probably didn't even have a compass that they went by. Let me tell you, the way that they knew where they was going, the way that they told time, the way that they knew if they was on the right track, they looked at the sun and the moon and the stars, and that's the way they charted their course. I remember years ago, I've never been able to read a compass. I still can't read a compass today. And I remember years ago we was hunting. And the dogs went off into a place and bait. And whenever they did, Jerry Williams, I was hunting with him. And we started off in this big swamp right next to Eufaula, Alabama. And Jerry said he looked up and he looked around like that. And then he looked behind him. He said, the sun's in my shoulder. I said, well, okay. He said, we're going to go in there, and when we start out, the sun needs to be in our face in just a few minutes. I said, well, it's what we got this Garmin in our hand for. He said, what you going to do when it goes dead in there? I said, I'm going to trust you to keep the sun in your face and get us back out of here. That's the way he would always, he would look at different things. And he could tell you exactly, hey, if we're going this way, he could look at this and he'd say, this is the way we needed to come back out. But in this day, that is exactly the way that they done things. And what happened? The Bible said this, the sun or the moon or the stars had not shined. They lost guidance in their life. Sin will always take the guidance from God from you. You can mark her down. Number six, I'm done. I told y'all I wasn't going to preach long. It's 20 minutes worth right there. Watch this. Number six, don't get used to it though. The Bible said this in verse number 20. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared and no small tempest lay on us, watch this, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. What will the storm take from you? What will sin take from you? Watch this, number six. They lost their hope. All hope that we should be saved was then taken away. How many times, and we could talk to Miss Cheryl, we could talk to Miss Tanya, we could talk to Brother Ramsey, we could talk to Brother Joe when he went in the jail, the others that work in, Miss Holly, the others that works in and out of the jail, Miss Leslie. We can talk, Brother David, Brother Joshua, that's your brother Jacob's daddy that works in the prison all the time. How many times have we heard this statement? I just don't think there's no hope. I just don't think. All hope that they should be saved was gone. What happened? It's very simple. They just didn't listen. And because they didn't listen, they lost freedom. They lost control. They lost rest. They lost joy. They lost guidance. They lost hope. Why? Because they did not listen. Now that's my introduction. Look in verse 21. But after long absence, I can't leave you there. But after long absence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me. The first thing he does is chastises them. He pretty much says, I told you so. I told you so. He said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer. Well, they just said, all hope is gone. You know what the preacher says? Be of good cheer. Well, Paul, how can we be of good cheer? The boat's falling apart. We've thrown everything overboard. We're fixing to die. There's no hope. And Paul says, time out. Hey, I just heard from God. The Lord just sent the angel to talk to me. And everything's going to be all right if you'll just listen to me. Listen to what he says. He said, you should have hearkened unto me and not loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. There stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sir, be of good cheer. I believe God that it shall be even as it was told. When you think about Paul right here, you can go back to the beginning of chapter 27. And at the closing, we're getting to the end of chapter 27 now. And there's some things that didn't change in the storm for Paul. You see, sometimes, Miss Tanya, start playing softly if you don't mind. I know I preach that storm as a picture of sin, but let's think about it as just a storm for a minute. Sometimes you're brought into the midst of the storm because of someone else. Are you with me right there? Sometimes our family would do things. It's completely out of our control, and we find ourselves in a storm because of someone else. Are you hearing the preacher tonight? You're living right, you're doing right, but your family does something and somebody else does something, and you find yourself in the midst of the storm. But watch Paul in the storm. There were some things that never changed with him. His devotion never changed. He said, the angel of God, whose I am. He never changed on. He was God's servant, and his devotion to God never changed. Watch this. He said, whose I am and whom I serve. His dedication never changed to God. He said, I was serving God before the storm. I served God in the midst of the storm. And now we're fixing to come out of the storm. And I'm still serving God. You need to make up your mind, no matter what comes, no matter how big the storm may be, no matter the loss that you may suffer during the storm, that you're going to stay devoted to God and you're going to stay dedicated to God. Watch this, his doctrine never changed. Verse number 24, 25. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God. His doctrine never changed. He said, I believed God before, I'm going to believe God now. It's easy to believe God when the sun's shining. It's easy to believe God when everything's all right down at the house. You let your kids go about half haywire, and thank God I've never had to go through that. You let devastation hit your home. The devil come in and bust your home into a million pieces, and it happens every day to good, godly people. You might as well say amen right there. And I tell you something, you're going to have some devotion and some dedication so your doctrine will not change. Hey, God's still God, the God that was God yesterday, the God that was God before the storm blowed in, the God that was the God before the rain started falling, the God that was a God before you went to the doctor is still the same God today. He said, for I am the Lord thy God, and I change not. God's never changed. God's never going to change. When the sun's shining, God's God. When the wind's blowing, God's God. When it's raining, God's God. God's just God. And Paul said, I may have been in a 14-day storm. I may have thought I was going to lose my life. Everybody around me may have lost hope. Oh, but by the grace of God, I stayed with the doctrine that I knew would work. God's never failed me. God's never let me down. So you know what I think I'll do? I think I'll just stay devoted and dedicated and grounded in the doctrines of God's Word, because He's true. He's already proven Himself. Paul's doctrine stayed the same. He just, you know what? He said, it don't matter what happens. Boys, you can jump off a boat. Boys, you can do whatever you want to. I believe God. I've heard from God. Oh, yeah, it reminds me of that old song. I've just heard from heaven, and this one thing I know. Goes on to talk about, no matter where we're at, we can trust Him. He said, I'm just going to believe God. He said, I heard from Him. Amen. I like to hear from Him. I like to hear from Him. I was sitting over in the office this afternoon, and I was trying to get my mind on studying about 4 o'clock, and man, it was running here and there, and carpet's got to come up, and desk has got to be moved, and man, my mind was just 100 mile an hour. I stopped a minute, and I said, Lord, I need to get these thoughts together tonight. And I read back through those verses, and I'm telling you, everything that I just preached to you, I wrote down about 4:45 this afternoon. And you know what it was? Brother Joshua, Lord, just sit down a minute. I believe God. Why? Because I've heard from Him. His devotion, His dedication, and His doctrine never changed. In the midst of, He never wavered. You can go back to chapter 26. Matter of fact, you can go back to chapter 9 when He gets saved. And from chapter 9 to chapter 28, He never changes. Matter of fact, from chapter 9 to the day He dies, He never changes. He never changes. Father.